Hello, and thank you for joining us. I'm really enjoying this series of interviews with doctors, and I hope you're able to hear them all. To receive insights from these experts in wellness is a huge opportunity. Again, welcome. I'm Dr. Terry Ronberg, president of the World Chiropractic Alliance and the developer of Bioenergy. My complete written bio will be provided on the teleconference information emails. Some of you know me and some of you don't, but I've dedicated my career to brain-based wellness care, always with a vision for development and training that moves our profession respectfully forward, which takes both unity and diversity. And I'm dedicated to learning and researching advanced brain-based wellness care, and I'm an advocate for the patients that rely on us to provide them our very best. Worldwide, I've trained thousands of doctors, and I always passionately and with purpose try and create new paths for better health care. Over the years, I've had a tremendous privilege of meeting and working with so many influential, highly respected chiropractors and countless others in alternative care, remarkable, inspiring alternative experts and providers from around the world. I appreciate all that I've gained from their teachings, and I really value connecting and aligning with so many amazing wellness professionals whom I count as personal friends. Nothing in life stands still, and health-changing discoveries in neuroscience are no exception. Today, I'm talking with a very recent graduate of chiropractic from Logan College, where I graduated from in 1974. He has insights he'll share about our next generation of doctors, and I've looked forward to this conversation and his fresh perspective. His professional direction and his obvious leadership are to be admired by everyone listening. My guest today is Dr. Corey St. Denis, who says his mentors have had a positive influence on him and his career, and hearing what he has to say is motivation for all of us to take the time to be mentors ourselves. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Corey St. Denis.
Well, thanks.
Now,
thanks
all of us
me,
who've
Dr.
been around, I'm sorry, Corey, go ahead.
Oh, I just said thanks for having me.
Yo, it's a pleasure to have you. It really is. And I'm sorry I was so long-winded in the introduction, but I want doctors to really understand what a privilege this is. You've graduated, what, 10 days ago?
Yeah, just what seems like it was just a few short days ago, yep.
Well, all of us who've been around a while really need to listen to you because you are the next generation of chiropractic. And I'm excited to get to know more about you and your perspective really should be a wake-up call for a lot of people listening. And, you know, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be able to talk to you and to share your story with so many other people. Now, Dr. Corey is a co-founder and creative director of DC Tree. That's your website, Corey?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. And this movement and company sprouted from your vision of ensuring that all chiropractors and students receive what you consider cutting-edge techniques in neuroscience and identify building or information you were exposed to in all these training sessions with your mentors. I know you're passionate about building a coalition so we can bridge the gap between new chiropractors and successful practices. You are, correct me if I'm wrong, but a native of Harrison, Michigan?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yep. And you've entered practice in Maine, is that right?
That's right, yeah, yep. And
what is the name of the town in Maine?
It's J-A-Y, yep.
And the name of your practice?
It's a small mill town. It's a small mill town of about 5,000, 6,000 people, so it's a very interesting community. And the name of the practice that I'm working at is called Paradigm Wellness.
Excellent. Well, what I appreciate about Corey is that he not only is committed to practicing neurologically-based chiropractic, but he has a focus on multi-level networking and small business. And clearly, Corey is a talented young man. I'm very interested in hearing more about his perspective on chiropractic today, not only as a doctor, but as a businessman. And right up front, I know Corey has said chiropractors need to open their eyes. So here's my first question, Corey, and welcome again, and thanks for being here. I'm glad to be able to ask you this. How if you can tell us a little bit about how it's going in your practice, I know it's very, very new, but how does it feel to see vision for your practice turn into a reality? Have you had any surprises?
Yeah, you know, I'm very happy that you asked me this question, and you're right. It's I've just started practicing, this week, I guess. But you know, I've had a time, almost 2 years where I've been, really honing in my skills and learning how to use techniques in chiropractic, through my schooling career. So, I've been seeing patients at Logan for a year in the outpatient clinic system, and I was also what's called a group leader. So I basically took a leadership position within the clinic system that I worked in, where I would mentor other students as they were learning how to apply the exciting career of chiropractic to a real life situation, i.e. a patient. So it was a very, very cool thing. And for me, applying the concepts of neurologically based chiropractic completely blew me away. My surprise was just how easily patients get it. When you're talking about the brain and the central nervous system, which historically chiropractors have done, and as far as I understand, you can tell someone about a million different ways, what a subluxation is and what's going on and how to explain their health picture. But, honestly, breaking it down and keeping it simple has been the easiest sort of road for me. And I'm super surprised about just how easy it is for patients to understand, what it is that they're having as far as a challenge with their health and also, how to fix it. There's so many surprises in practice every day, but it's amazing how wide the scope of practice becomes when you start to focus on the brain.
Let's focus on the brain right now. Tell me in 30 seconds or less what you would tell a new patient if you're describing what you do for the brain and how you help them.
Okay, good. So I always start real simple. I just say, everybody has a born stress response. And so right now I want to talk to you about your stress response. If anything happens to you, your body's going to react. So if I were to, smack you on the arm, or you were to stub your toe, or you were maybe to get scared, all right, your body's going to have a response to that. And that response is inborn, and it's innate, and it's a part of who you are. And that's a great thing to have. You want your body to be able to respond to stressors. What the problem seems to be is you're having trouble recovering from stressors. And then I usually ask them, do you have any stress in your life? And I normally get people just laughing. Yeah, of course I have stress in my life, mortgage, kids, and that sort of thing. So I usually just break it down. And, chiropractic care allows you to adapt and to recover from those stressors.
And they get it right away.
Oh, that's usually the aha moment. Like, oh, that's all you're doing? That's pretty simple. So that's very
excellent.
Good.
So in your practice, as you envision it today and in the future of the profession, do you have things in your mind right now, one or two things that you most want people to know you for, whether they're patients or the profession? What would you like to be known as? Besides an excellent doctor of chiropractic.
That's right, yeah. Besides an excellent doc, I'd like people to, especially my patients in practice and in the community that I'm working in now, I envision them seeing me as someone who they should go to when they need to be empowered. That, to me, that's one of the most important aspects of health is knowing that you have control and that, you can overcome many of your issues in life with a little bit of help, and that it's okay to help. So, I just want people to know that I'm here to help, and that when they do come to me, I'm going to give them the tools to empower them. And as far as the profession goes, refocus on maybe the DC tree or my professional goals. I'd like the profession to, really just approach me just the same as they would any other person. Start a conversation and know me for the fact that, I'm there to help, and I'm there to learn as well. And if you learn one thing from every person you meet, you'll be a pretty smart person by the time you're done. So.
Excellent. Well, with a new generation rises new leaders, and I see that you're stepping up with passion and dedication, and I admire that. You have a world of potential and possibility ahead of you.
Thank you very much.
You mentioned multi-level networking and small business. Tell us how you feel doctors of chiropractic can make the biggest impact.
Well, in my limited experience in the profession, I've been studying chiropractic for about 6 years. I've been studying the profession pretty heavily for 4 years. What it seems like to me is that chiropractors need to hibernate once in a while. Not that they need to, not that I'm suggesting they do, but it just seems like what they do. Everything ebbs and flows, obviously. When stressors come and go in your life, and you have to definitely allocate resources in one direction or another at all times so that you can maintain that homeostasis in life. But I think that chiropractors need to start to try to do things like networking every day. Don't wait for an event. Don't wait for your business networking group on Thursday mornings. Don't wait for that one event that you're hosting on a Saturday where you've invited good patients to the office so you can, there's so many opportunities to share the chiropractic story, to share your story, or just to get to know someone and be yourself. Networking, I've experienced it with students in the colleges, and this is kind of where the DC tree sort of stemmed from, because I have had, no problems introducing myself and just kind of putting myself in front of people, talking, making myself uncomfortable. But, that's where a lot of the networking that I've come to be so successful with is, sort of stemmed from. And so, multi-level networking and small business, you're always a chiropractor. I mean, there is no time where you're not a chiropractor. So if you've got, your family at home and, you leave work you want to leave work at work and you don't want to take it home, that's fine. But you know what? There's plenty of opportunities to be networking all the time. And, I think it's our, due diligence. We, as chiropractors, we need to share with as many people as we can what we do to make the biggest impact. So I think my advice for, chiropractors is to just quit being scared, quit hibernating, and get out there and try something new and go outside of your comfort zone, and that's where the true networking and comes from.
Well, my perspective has always been to go out and change the world. We have not just an obligation, we have an honor. It's a privilege to be able to have this message that we all carry around and be able to share that with people that aren't familiar with it, people that don't understand it yet, whose eyes have not yet opened. And you say that chiropractors need to open their eyes, and your perspective is obviously one of a recent graduate, so it's a fresh perspective. But it's very valuable to doctors of chiropractic of all ages. So could you tell me what you mean? How do chiropractors need to open their eyes?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Dr. Terry. There is so much information out there, and there really is so much chiropractic. As a student, it's our job to go to school and learn how to pass our boards and become physicians and be, clinically competent and, also have the looming entrepreneurial ideas where, we're going to start our own businesses and this sort of thing. It just comes back to the neurologically based chiropractic. I said chiropractors need to open their eyes because we have the information available now. We have the science. We have things that we didn't have 118 years ago when this profession was founded and since then been developed. And so many of the things that are in all of these books that we peruse through as students to learn the history of chiropractic, it's all in there. There's quotes after quotes after quotes of people, talking about the brain and the central nervous system. And when someone hands you the truth, you have a choice. You can either ignore it because the change in your life to reflect that truth is going to be too hard for you, or you can dive in and give it your best shot and also network with the people who are there to help you who've already done it. So, I think chiropractors need to open their eyes in the fact that we have the potential with neurologically based chiropractic with looking at the brain and looking at what it actually means to give an adjustment and what adjustments can do for people. You can't get over the fact that there's so much proof out there for what we do, and not only that, but just the opportunity that we have to be so much more advanced in our care, and the scope of practice widens so greatly when you, like I said, when you start to focus on the brain and the central nervous system. So, I think that's where my comment about opening your eyes comes from. Chiropractors need to open their eyes. It's there. The information's there.
And are you defining neurologically based chiropractic as focusing on the central nervous system and the brain and how it functions, as well as how we can complement its function?
Absolutely. And Dr. Richard Barwell is, we already kind of talked about, he's just one of my biggest mentors, and he's sort of the one who coined the phrase neurologically based chiropractic, as far as I know. And so when I'm speaking about neurologically based chiropractic, I'm talking about the type of functional neurology that Dr. Barwell, teaches in his programs and with the use of the NeuroInfinity. But, even besides these different technologies in office, there are other ways to approach neurologically based chiropractic. And I think that no matter what you're doing, as long as your focus is there, I think you're in the right direction. There's we talked about, and I know, you said we've graduated from the same college, so you'll know Dr. Montgomery. And he speaks
about...
Dr.
Montgomery's actually went to school after I did, and I do know him, but his father was my anatomy instructor.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in his whole family, you know that they're very into the history, and the Doc Montgomery that I came to know and enjoy at school, he teaches some history courses and different things like that, and he teaches our philosophy course, and he was telling us there's over 200 ways, documented ways to adjust techniques. I think that as long as you're starting with a neurological model in one way or another, if you're asking the body, if you're prompting the central nervous system for a response, a yes or no, binary biofeedback, all of these things that we can do to prompt the person's central nervous system to give us a negative or a positive response, we need to be doing those things. And, the art of chiropractic, I've come to learn, is so much fun. And when you apply a very heavy academic science, like neurologically based chiropractic, functional neurology, even the Carrick stuff that's going on, there are so many options. But when you're doing something like that, you're going to make big waves and big changes, and it doesn't matter, how you're doing it. It's just the fact that you're focusing and you're doing it in that way.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I am also a big history buff when it comes to chiropractic, and I've read a lot. I think I've read every Green Book at least twice.
Very cool.
And that's a big part of my foundation and my understanding of chiropractic. And I've read the books that were written by Vinton Logan and, the Logans were historical figures and pioneers as well in chiropractic, and were big philosophers and really understood so much more than I think we were able to be exposed to when I went to school. Things have changed, become more scientific and a little more mechanistic. But I want your reaction to this, because I love this quote, and it was from the discoverer of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer, who wrote in 1910, he said, quote, "The majority of chiropractors work with the concept that they are the all-important feature of adjusting subluxations, that it is what they do that replaces a subluxation, and it is with this thought they proceed to push vertebra into the position they think they need to be pushed into. Adjusting in their minds means pushing bones into adjusted positions. I never had such a concept." And then he went on to say, "My work is an enticement to get innate to make the adjustment." How does that fit into your understanding of neurologically based chiropractic?
Well, that's a very cool quote. And it's funny, too, because a lot of times the premise, people's understanding of chiropractic seems to boil down to that, um, that that idea of, you know, pushing the bone back into place. And, you know, I think as far as neurologically based chiropractic goes, you can learn as much information as possibly imaginable and apply it in every way possible and still not understand the body, still not understand the brain, and still not understand the process of innate intelligence. But sometimes I feel like that's the beauty. And when you're working with neurologically based chiropractic, you know, you're working on the controller, or I guess more the matter that innate uses to control the human body. And so, you know, how could you go wrong if you're you know being conscious of the innate ability to heal the body? I mean, that's everything that we do.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's another quote I want to share with you. This actually comes from B.J. Palmer, and was written by Stevenson in his book, and then Galen Price stated it again at a later date. He stated, "Our purpose in chiropractic is to assist the brain with the, quote, transmission of mental impulses between the brain and all the parts of the body. And the degree of health enjoyed by each individual is dependent upon the normal transmission of mental impulses between the brain and all the parts of the body." You know, BJ spoke of the brain. He certainly had a lot of focus on the upper cervical area. That was his main focus. But he also had great respect for Hugh B. And Vinton Logan, and they worked on the opposite end of the spine.
That's right.
From a neurological standpoint, how do you reconcile the two, and what do you think neurologically based chiropractic, what would your perspective be about those two vastly different areas of the spine and how they restore mental impulses to the tissues in the body?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the interesting thing about learning Logan Basic early on in our chiropractic career as a Logan alum, you know, it forces you to, and for those docs that, you know, maybe are in the profession that are going to listen to this that are unsure of what Logan Basic technique is, it's a full spine adjusting technique that utilizes a contact in the sacral plexus of nerves. It's called the apex contact, and it's basically a stimulation of the parasympathetic nervous system. And so, and which most docs, especially those that are studying this brain stuff, are, you know, probably already know, many, many amazing things happen when you can remove people from a sympathetic state and put them into, you know, sort of a rest and digest or parasympathetic state. A lot of times that's all innate needs to, you know, really open up the floodgates of healing. So, very interesting technique. But, you know, I think, just the idea of stimulation and inhibition, neurological stimulation and inhibition with the different types of techniques, and like you're talking about with upper cervical versus Logan Basic technique. For me personally, I've used both techniques for a multitude of different reasons with patients, and you know, I haven't nearly had the experience with the upper cervical work, and I wouldn't call myself an upper cervical doc at all. But from my experience, the different parts of the spine, I mean, you're just stimulating the nervous system in a different way. And that sacral plexus, the end of the spinal cord, that's a very sensitive place in the nervous system. And it's very receptive to, you know, light touch, and as is the upper cervical spine. You know, you can make a lot of change, and a lot of stimulation can go into the nervous system with very little movement or input. So I think it's vastly different for someone who's been practicing a lot longer to answer that question versus me, who, you know, if only just scratching the surface of real, you know, using experience and technique and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely interesting, and I think it's all about the stimulation factor.
Well, I appreciate that. I tell doctors when I talk to them, just Google brain health. You know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real wake-up call, and it's always interesting to Google because the list just goes on and on. But a few of the examples that popped up just before this discussion with you, I did that very thing, and I saw the AARP, that's a I don't know if you're familiar with that. You probably aren't, but that's the Association for Retired Persons, the American Association. And they had an article on health and brain health in particular. And they find they list the latest ways of enhancing brain power and getting tips on memory improvement and stress management, because boomers are coming of age. And a huge area of interest for baby boomers, who now make up about 76 million Americans, over the next 20 years, or the next 18 years, has already been going on for a while. You know, there's over 72,000 Americans who are hitting the age of retirement every day, 7 days a week, for the next 18 years. So in your lifetime, you'll see the population shift dramatically, and the majority of citizens will be in legal retirement age over this period of time. And tremendous interest in dementia and Alzheimer's and preventing it, because, you know, there's such a huge problem that's coming when we're coming of age now. And, you know, they have articles and sites that pop up on cerebral success and fuel for thought, repairing your aging brain, and, you know, brain health, and certainly Alzheimer's is a huge site. You know, on the Alzheimer's site, I wrote a quote down. They said, when people think about staying fit, they generally think from the neck down. But the health of your brain plays a critical role in almost everything you do. Well, for a neurological or neurologically based chiropractor, that should be music to our ears.
Yeah.
And if you continue, you know, reading research on neurological health and brain health, as you already know, it's vital that doctors of chiropractic jump on board, or they're going to be left behind, because this is the future of healthcare. And I want to know how you're applying neurologically based chiropractic in your practice.
Sure.
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, here's a perfect example. We just, you know, we had a patient drive almost 2 hours to see us yesterday for her first consultation, and I went in with Dr. Patrick Kieran, who's the doc that I'm working alongside of here at Paradigm Wellness, and, you know, we did the consult together, and this is what we're doing. We're taking a consult just like any other chiropractic office. We're getting to know the person, you know, and we're getting to understand where they are in their health picture and what their goals are and all the things that we learn about how to, you know, properly take a consult and whatnot. And, you know, we're going to do a chiropractic examination and posture and, you know, different foot leveler scans and all the things that happen. And then we're using the NeuroInfinity, which is Dr. Richard Barwell's piece of equipment that he's put together. And we're scanning their brain. We're testing their stress response, and then we're finding out, you know, how they recover from stressors. And, you know, the actual neurologically based chiropractic part of it isn't just the brain scan. You know, it's modifying, it's learning how a patient's, you know, nervous system is going to respond to your care. And, you know, if we know how their nervous system responds to stress, then we know what type of stress is going to be a use stress for their system and what's going to lead them towards health. And a lot of what we do that's neurologically based is based around the fact that once we get their scan and get their scan report, we're modifying the frequency and the duration and the intensity of their care based on their nervous system's ability to heal and to coordinate healing, which, you know, as you know, is an ever-learning process. I mean, we're always evolving our technique and whatnot here at the office and in chiropractic in general. But when you have the ability to look at the nervous system in this way and then to make a care plan for someone and look them in the eye and tell them that, you know, this is how you're going to heal. This is what your brain looks like, and this is what the ideal brain situation looks like. Here are the differences. Here's what we can do to help, and here's what an adjustment is. And then, you know, you can go ahead and explain the adjustment. And, you know, it's different every time for every person, but when you're explaining that the adjustment is allowing them to the ability to better adapt to stress, there aren't a lot of people who don't get that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree. Now, you mentioned the NeuroInfinity instrument. I'd like to let our listeners know that they can go to neuroinfinity.com and get a tremendous amount of information about the instrument and what it measures. It's a very powerful tool. I actually use the NeuroInfinity to scan hundreds of people when I did my research and development of the technique, the system I teach, which is bioenergy. And the NeuroInfinity demonstrates how bioenergy and any other technique for that matter affects brain waves, heart rate variability, heart rate, skin conductance, temperature, respiration rate, and muscle activity. And when you can show how those things change, you have objective data that proves the effectiveness of, or lack of effectiveness of really any technique. But my concern, obviously, for me as a bioenergy to me is neurologically based chiropractic. That's my own humble opinion. But I based it on using the NeuroInfinity because I was just shocked, and I shouldn't have been, but I was, at the changes you can make by doing so much less than I had originally practiced and done for so many years. In the case, and Dr. Barwell really educated me in how this takes place with the brain, but since then I've read hundreds of books and examined hundreds, now thousands of people using the NeuroInfinity, and it's an incredible tool. I recommend any doctor who wants to prove the value of what they do utilize one of these instruments because it takes the guesswork out.
It
proves that we're unlocking that life force energy that gets blocked. And, as far as I'm concerned, chiropractors should own brain-based wellness care because no one else does. And we can do things like what I do in bioenergy is basically stimulate mechanoreceptors on the suboccipital triangle, which is, going to enhance function in the entire body. If we increase tell me your opinion on that. If you increase activity in the frontal lobe and the cortex, how do you think that affects the whole body?
Well, I mean, that that's the whole conscious mind was there. And so,
exactly.
I mean, if you're stimulating or inhibiting or whatever you're doing, if you're doing something to affect the frontal cortex, I mean, that's how people experience their lives. So, I'm only assuming that you're improving the function of the frontal cortex. So that can't be a bad thing.
Well, I don't know if you know who Roger Sperry is. He was a neuropsychologist and a neurobiologist who won the Nobel Prize in 1981 in medicine. And here's a quote from him. You're going to love this as a neurologically based chiropractor. He said 90% of the stimulation and nutrition to the brain is generated by the movement of the spine. And ironically, I mean, every discipline I've studied, in addition to chiropractic, whether it was the Alexander technique in massage or Milton Traeger's work in massage, it was an MD in the 30s and 40s that developed a vibrational technique of rocking the body in physical therapy. I studied acupuncture in China and Ayurvedic medicine in India, and they all point to the same area that now neuroscience has proven again, that this is the area in this upper cervical region which really has direct communication with the cortex. And when you stimulate that area, it provides the brain more power. And the NeuroInfinity proves it. And I'm sure you've seen it before.
Wow, that piece of equipment, I mean, honestly, one of the reasons that I wrote chiropractors need to change their eyes or open their eyes open their eyes up is because of the NeuroInfinity. I mean, this kind of thing, there's not going to be one end-all fix-all that makes every chiropractor the most, brilliant chiropractor in the world that can answer any question. But tools like this that allow us to take well-researched topics and apply them to what we're doing already, and the only side effect of is spending 12 more minutes on your exam, you can't beat that. I mean, this is a situation where something has come into our hands where we have the opportunity to truly show what we're doing, and not only show it but graph it long term and get better. It's allowing us to get better.
Excellent. Well, I understand you have good advice about how to pick mentors. So what's your criteria? What do you tell students or other young doctors what they need to look for in a mentor?
Absolutely. I love this question. Picking mentors, I think I've halfway gotten really lucky and halfway just really applied myself and been picky. So I think, when you're picking a mentor, first of all, in my circle, we call it vibing. You have to vibe with them. You can't have...
Sounds intuitive.
Right, yes. You can't. Yeah. You have to trust your gut and you have to know that you know someone. A little piece of advice that I have been following for about the past 4 years, I guess, all the way through grad school was, not relying on situations to be my decision maker, but relying on my intuition and learning how to, sort of captivate the feelings that I'm having and use them to, make proper decisions that are based off of, what I know and feel and not just necessarily what I'm thinking. That's what I tell people. People will say, well, you've got so many good mentors in your life. How do you get in front of all these people? Or you're so lucky. And I think luck is part of it. But the other part of it is, just being honest, just being brutally honest with yourself and honest with the people whom you wish were your mentors. And my other advice especially to students, if students get a hold of this and listen, please take everything that you hear and think about it and reflect on it, because, there are a lot of times where, I've had situations where my mentors would come back to me and say, well, man, I'm glad you didn't take that too seriously. Now that I'm thinking about it, you should try this. Or, not a take back, but, a reflection. And, if you're not reflecting properly on advice and you're just taking every advice you get, and you can go down a wrong path, and you need to make sure that, the path fits yours. So I think when to clarify, when you're looking for a mentor, absolutely find someone who vibes with you and find someone who shares the same values and the core beliefs, and don't be afraid to make yourself uncomfortable and say the things that need to be said, because that you'll find your mentor when they have the answers for you.
Well, and this is great advice. Hopefully there will be a lot of students who listen to this eventually. But for those of us who have been around a while, what one piece of advice would you like to say to those of us?
Well, I feel honored and a bit nervous to be giving 30,000 chiropractors advice when I've only been a chiropractor for 10 days. But
well, that's okay. From a fresh perspective, you're in a unique position. Many of us, I've been out over 40 years. I want to know what you think after looking at the whole profession, and you've had lots of time to see doctors in the field and teachers and all sorts of experienced people. What would you say they're missing, or what would you say they could add to their lives that you see that maybe they don't? Is there anything?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I see over and over and over again, and this comes from a lot of my experiences of being at these different training sessions, doing some of these different things, being on the cutting edge. I'm there with chiropractors who, like you said, have been, in practice for 20, 30, and 40 years, and they look at me and they say, you know what, you're not even graduated. Do you know how lucky you are to be where you are now? And I do, but at the same time, I wanna look right back at them and say, well, aren't you here too? I mean, aren't we both here? Are we both learning? And so,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, don't be afraid to change. If you've been doing something for 30 years and you hear the truth and you want to make the change but you're scared, there are people there to help you, and just find them and humble yourself and make changes that are going to make your career your passion.
Well, thank you, Corey. You're a breath of fresh air. And thank you for your insights. Your patients are fortunate to have you as a wellness provider, and I look forward to getting to know you more. I want all of our listeners to know they can go to www.thedctree.com. That is your website, correct?
Yep, it's the DC Tree, and we always joke it's not the Facebook or anything like that. So, but
yeah.
As a student and a student-run project, there wasn't a whole lot of funding available, so we couldn't afford just dctree.com. So it's thedctree.com, and
please, great.
Please look,
may I give out your phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nine. Yep. What I have is 989 429-3043.
Yes, absolutely.
So if anyone wants to connect with you, they can call that number. Is that your office or your cell?
That's my cell phone number, and that's perfect. I almost always have it on me, so it's a good thing if you want to reach me. And do you mind if I make one quick comment?
No, please, go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to say, for those of the docs that are listening and that are, you know, wanting to learn more about neurologically based chiropractic, obviously keep tuning into Dr. Terry's programs because he has an epic amount of information and from what I understand, a great amount of speakers to come to talk to about this. But, you know, get on the DC tree and remember when you're logging on, there are articles on there. And these articles are written by our contributors, people who, you know, value neurologically based chiropractic. And the goal of this website is to be able to share these writings and share this concept of networking and neutrality and just working together with someone in the practice. And, you know, our goal is to share the parts of the profession that are passionate so that people can understand that they don't need to do one thing or the other, that they can get on there, they can look around and read and become inspired to do their own further research. So please just log on and read. That's our most valuable asset at this point. So,
thank you, Corey. I want all the listeners to know that you're invited to the next teleconference in this series. And as Corey stated, we have a tremendous number of talented and experienced professionals who are very, very acutely aware of the importance of brain-based wellness care and neurologically-based wellness care. If you're interested and you want to make sure you don't miss anything, you can go to the www.bioenergyteleconference.com. And just to let our listeners know, you know, bioenergy, for those of you who don't know, is brain-based wellness care. And bioenergy directs vibratory motions to retrain neuromuscular emotional patterns. And it's the brain that controls and coordinates all function in the body through electrical and chemical messages. Even though it's incapable of producing most of its own electrical energy, you know, relying instead on electrical impulses generated by mechanoreceptors, the upper neck contains more mechanoreceptors than anywhere else in the body. I remember B.J. Palmer used to expel anyone who adjusted below the axis. That was a bad thing at Palmer. But, you know, through expertise and instrumentation, retraining of the suboccipital muscles and the suboccipital triangle, which cover the brain stem, will improve healing and function, and the NeuroInfinity is a way to measure that. And relaxing these muscles and stimulating the mechanoreceptors directs vibratory information directly to the higher regions of your brain, which will improve brain function. And this is a technique and a system that a person can do on themselves as well, which I love. So, you know, bioenergy unblocks the body's flow of vital life force energy and neutralizing stress factors in the amygdala, which results in positive changes in the corresponding organs and life support systems all over the body. And the brain receives these increased electrical nutrients, enhancing wellness in the body and the mind. And just as a reminder, you know, bioenergy, to me, it's an amazing, and it improves the body, which is miraculous, a miraculous machine, and it always strives to balance itself out and improve our lives. So, you know, in my opinion, you know, with bioenergy, we can have the best life and live a life filled with peacefulness and joy and fulfillment from day to day and moment to moment. I will invite every one of our listeners. This is our audio series of interviews, but we're doing a video series. And they can watch that series if they register online at www.bioenergyvideotraining.com. And that's a free series of videos. So, Corey, great talking to you. Thanks again. You're wonderful.
Thanks so much, Dr. Romberg, for having me on. It was a blast.
Let's talk soon.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.